he waved a bye. He waved Ken Roczen bye. Hunter Lawrence is going to go back on top. He sweeps it at Chicagoland.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. Got my co-host Ryan Villopoto right there. And before we get going, like always, we've got to thank United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and Boxo USA. Thank you guys so much. Great companies, and proud that we have you backing us. So thank you very much for all the support, and of course, always our viewers and our fans. And RV, it was a wild one, and I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off straight off. We're coming out of the gate hard today here on Title 24. We got some sound and some video from Jet Lawrence and the wave by. Let's roll that.
Nah, the boys in the booth are going to like this one. So obviously, just big brain moves mid-motor. I was starting to think of like points and that stuff, and I know it's in the race. It's like nation points, like it's first is 1 point, second is dollar, so on. And I was saying, I remember Kenny got third in the first one, so I'm like, okay, if he gets 4 points, Chase, 2, 3, 5 points, I still get the overall in the end. So, and then that's also a little baby gift for Kenny for the newborn. So maybe some pimped out cribs and that stuff. So, but no, it was big brain move for me. This is a surprise myself. That's why there was two laps when Kenny was right on me. So I was going doing the mass and making sure I was right. And thankfully, thankfully I was.
Dude, you, I mean, for a second there, I didn't know, like in the moment, and actually he fooled me. Cause I'm like, dude, what's he doing? Like, I thought something maybe was wrong with his motorcycle. Cause and one reason that I thought that was because Joe had that issue in the second moto. So I'm like, oh dude, something's wrong with his motorcycle. And you're watching right here, and he goes by and he's like, get on by. He waves Kenny by. That's the talk of the town. But then he's kind of like chilling. And I thought that he was looking down at his bike. A few sections later, this is when they were coming back onto the track. Remember, on the far end of the track, they went out of the stadium, then came back down. But anyhow, dude, so go for it. What do you think? You have the word.
Yeah, I mean, pretty interesting. I listening to him on the podium, thinking that he had it all figured out. But as we know, it didn't change anything. He still got the overall, but it didn't add any extra points to the championship points. Right. Heading into LA, so. I mean, give him props for being able to multitask while being running that pace and having Ken breathing down his neck.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like good try, but no dice for sure. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I think it's cool. It's crazy that the kid can, like I said, multitask and be able to race at that pace and at that level, and then also try to do the math in your head, because that's not easy. It's hard for me to count laps, so that's why I have a pit board and a mechanic, so interesting. I think it just stirs up the pot, but as we know, it didn't affect anything.
Well, it didn't affect anything, but I just want to say, and this is my take on it, I thought that you would, honestly, being straight up, I thought you'd been like, dude, that was an unbelievable move. I think that the mindset and the intent was awesome. He wanted to make up the points. He talked about it. You could see that's why he did it. I truly believe that. I don't care what anyone, if they tried to debate me. I mean, he wanted Ken to get leapfrog Chase and gain a few extra points. Now, I'm not great at math, and he got the math wrong, but I take that part out of it. I just look at what he was trying to do mathematically, even though it didn't work out in the mindset. I think it's brilliant. It shows you how advanced he is. He'll eventually get better at that stuff. It's hard to do. Like we were talking before we went on today, and it's like, dude, sometimes it's hard for me to start juggling around, what is a 2-3 versus a 3-1 and a 1-2. It's like, it gets confusing. So, I like where his head's at and just trying to add up every little advantage as possible. as much as possible. That's where I'm going for. It's pretty incredible. Just another, like, I think it's another example just to show how advanced he is, not just by riding the motorcycle and racecraft and all that, but from the mind game as well, and where his head's at. That's what I think.
Yeah, I do. I think it's very, very advanced. Like I said, I about my personal self, there's no way I could go out there and race at that level. Also with Kenny behind you, and now doing math, like, it shows to your point what you said of what's impressive is where his mental and mind is able to, you know, block things out, block out the race itself, and focus on it and try to do these points. I think he did about 2 or 3 laps trying to add all this up, you know, while he's racing for the number one spot, you know, like, it's pretty, it's pretty amazing how advanced and I don't want to use the word head games, but where his headspace is and be like, okay, well, if I'm here, if this is where Kenny's at, Chase is back here, how can I bridge that gap in points? It's very
advanced.
Very amazing what he's able to do on the motorcycle. Not just talking about his riding, but the mental side of it.
Right. I know that people are gonna bang on him pretty hard about it and, you know, how it didn't even matter, but it, like I said, the points and how it didn't given him an advantage. It's not necessarily that I'm more impressed by. It's just like where his thinking was. So, you know, he's going to take a beating, I'm sure, but, you know, and say, well, it didn't even matter. But the people who are saying that should take notice of, like I said, what I just told you, like where his head is at and the little advantages that he's trying to do. He's not always going to get it right. That's for sure. But so when you were watching, were you kind of fooled by it too? Like, were you like,
what? I was. I thought there was something wrong with the motorcycle because we knew that Joe had a little issue. Vial had it. Tom had an issue with his motorcycle. Mm-hmm. It's from what I heard, right? I think that was, I think probably most of everybody's initial thought was, what is going on here? Is he trying to manage the race, manage the motorcycle, and that's like, here you go, Kenny, take it. But meanwhile, he's trying to add up all these equations and numbers in his head on where things are going to fall for the end of the points for the championship points for this Chicago round. So interesting, but it sounds like AMA gave him a written warning for letting Ken by. So do you, Ricky, have any, cause I don't have any information on that.
Yeah.
What is the rule? Why would there be a penalty?
Yeah. So, there is a rule in the rule book to where you're not supposed to pull over, let someone by, and basically, I don't know exactly how it reads, but essentially you're affecting what the natural turnout would have been. You know, it's like, if people are gambling and in a game, you know, someone like predetermining the results basically is what he did. And that's a violation. So he got a written warning for that. So he was trying to fix the finishes, like the overall. And basically that's what he was warned. Hey, you can't do that. So he broke the rule books. I wasn't even aware of that, honestly, that rule. I think it was just implemented this year. Do not hold me to that. That was just some talk that I had heard yesterday. But nevertheless, yeah, he got a written warning. You can't predetermine.
How do you feel about that rule?
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm 50-50. I think if I'm the guy that's doing it to try to help me points wise, I think that I had the smarts to think of that and to help my position going into the points. But if I'm on the other side of the token, of course I'm pissed, right? I don't like it. You shouldn't be allowed to do it. But that leads me into what we were. So that conversation I was having with some people yesterday, I mean, dude, they do it in F1 all the time.
Like, I was going to say, isn't NASCAR F1? There's a lot of strategy in that type of, in those car racing, but I'm a little, that's new to me. Like, I just see it come up on our chat right here, and our live chat for the ones who are wondering where I just pulled this from. Well, it popped up on our live chat internally, and I guess that's a rule. And I look at it, and yeah, I'm leaning on the one on the side of, I don't know if that is, I think that's kind of bogus, to be honest. I think if the kid, if the racers, because here's the other thing, we don't have, there's
no betting.
We don't have real betting on our sport. So as to, you know, skew the results, if it's skewed either way, like there's no money on the line from the outside. It's not like we have to get, you go to your bookie and like, you know, you're betting on this type of sport. So, I could totally understand the rule being what it is if we had gambling involved in our racing. But man, if the kid that's that young and that talented and has that mental capacity to be able to do both of those things, without yep. cutting the track, without doing anything that's really like what I see being breaking of rules. I know that's a rule and he did break it, but I don't know if that rule is, I don't know if I like that rule.
Yeah. Well, there is actually bets. It's NXT bets, but I mean, it's a dude, it's so new, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, okay, it's a newer rule and he let Kenny buy to try to advance, Kenny's finishing position and points and turn that would.
So Ricky, let me ask you this, hit pause really quick. So if Jet was say his thought was completely different and say his thought was, man, I can't break Kenny. Where the hell is he faster at than I am? Like the scenario with me and BT at, Millville in 07, where I let him by and jumped in behind me and Ben ended up, you know, we ended up swapping motos, but what about that scenario? Cause that's not necessarily, you're not breaking a rule at that point. If your intention, which obviously, as we know, his intention wasn't to pass him back, but what if it was like, hey, I want to follow Kenny. I want to learn something from him. Cause clearly he's riding my coattails. And he knows some pretty good lines on this track.
Yeah. I mean, he could listen, if you're predetermining the finish of the race and he had a strategy, yeah, he could certainly blame it on that for sure. You're 100% right. And I thought about this too. If I'm him now, like we're basically telling guys how to cheat the rule. It's like, you can do that. Okay. And then that's just what you go by. And then it'd be up to the officials to make that judgment call. Like, okay, was he really letting Ken by or whatever rider it was to see where he was faster? Like many riders have done in the past. Yourself, me, letting Stu by, Reedy by, whatever it might be, just to see where the hell these guys are faster. Or you can always play this card. Yeah, he didn't want to badmouth his bike. Maybe something was wrong with his motorcycle and he didn't want to broadcast on live television that there was a mechanical with his motorcycle protecting the nature of Honda.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways you could slice that. That's why that's a sticky rule right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then at that point, so if he goes back and he refutes the call, right? Then then who's to say that he wasn't being truthful? Like maybe there was something was with their bike. So yeah, the rule's definitely going to need to be tweaked for sure.
Yeah. And look, he gave it up to us too. It's like, look, I know we're talking hypothetically right now with different scenarios, he said it on the podium, what his plan was and what, how he thought it was going to end up. So that's where the rule is very clear. Not allowed to let people by to change the result of the race. Well, he laid it all out for us. So I guess that's why the written warning is, but yeah, it is a gray area. Definitely have to probably refine that rule a little bit. Because yeah, mechanicals, bikes, I mean, there's a lot of different things you could pull out of the clouds to blame that or to make it look legit.
Yeah. So outside of all the strategy, you said on last week's show that dude, he needed to come out and he had to perform. He had to go out and win. That's how you thought he needed to handle it. What's your analysis on how he rode and what did you see from Jet this weekend?
Definitely. I called that out last week. Definitely had to have a big rebound weekend. And that's what we saw, you know, like two solid motos, regardless of the second moto and the finishing, how it ended up. I think Jet made a statement. I think, you know, have to make a point about this track. Like I doing race day live, I kind of felt like I was repeating myself a lot because there wasn't a lot of obstacles on this track from a supercross standpoint. And also from an outdoor standpoint, there, you know, we had some doubles, we had our finish line, we had our typical things we would see, but from the calling where I was sitting and calling it from that standpoint made it a little bit tough. But man, Dirtworks did a great job with it, this true hybrid. I think where I'm going with this is, I think Chase struggled, missed the mark on his motorcycle a little bit. I think that's why we saw him so far off. You know, last week had two amazing rides. And then this week we came to Chicago, and now we have a combination of some guys are running an outdoor shock with the, you know, like supercross forks that are all the way, you know, pulled out, all the way out to like as soft as possible. Yeah, like your old setup.
At Daytona.
I think these guys, like, honestly, they've done a really good job with the different tracks, because I think all these teams are struggling trying to find a setup, especially at Chicago. I think Charlotte was way easier to find that setup, and I think LA is going to be way easier to find the setup. I think it's going to be pretty cut and dry when it comes to those two.
Yeah.
But this weekend was definitely, they threw a wrench in the program.
Hey, Tegan Murdoch says, does this give either Jet or Ken the mental edge over the other? So Tegan, appreciate the engagement on Title 24 and asking us questions. I mean, myself, I'm assuming that Tegan is talking about the battle this weekend, and does it give Jet or Ken the advantage? I don't think so. I still, as well as Chase did at Charlotte, and then we go back to this past weekend in Chicago, and then Ken's been pretty solid both events. I still think Jet has the advantage.
So do I. I do think Jet has the advantage, and why I say that is, you know, he was able to, yes, Kenny rode a phenomenal race, like, you know, but he was able to pressure Jet that whole 20 minutes. Pretty much he got a little disconnected midway-ish through the race, but he was able to catch back up to him. You know, he had some really, really good lines, and I think Kenny, he nailed the setup. He said that at press conference on Friday. He's like, where, you know, a question was asked, where are we at with setup and compared to last week, compared to this week? And he said he nailed it last week, and he felt like he nailed it this week. So, and it definitely showed. Kenny was riding phenomenal. We're watching right now, folks, on our replay. Kenny was all over him. All over Jet, taking different lines, either waiting for a mistake or figuring out where he's going to pass him at. The pass never, obviously, he never bridged that gap to actually make a pass on him. But nonetheless, he rode phenomenal.
Yeah, he did. So Kenny was pretty outspoken. He took to the gram on his thoughts. And we have the text or the post from that. There's his second main. Well, I could care less about the oh-so-kind baby gift from Jet. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The math didn't make a difference whatsoever on the overall anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking any gifts anybody can give me myself while I'm sitting here in a chair talking about what would happen. Looking back, I'm all for gifts. I think if you're Ken, you certainly want to believe that you broke. I read some stuff on social media platforms about how he broke Kenny Kenny broke Jet, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you're Ken, you have to tell yourself that, you know, you kept him close, you reeled him back in, you made him crack, and you basically pass him back. I mean, what are you going to say, right, if you're Ken?
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed like he was a little displeased with you know, the comment or what, you know, Jet's theory behind it.
He's probably thinking that Jet, he'd straight up beat Jet, and Jet didn't let him by on purpose, or for the reason that Jet said he let him by. So that's what I think. I still think that Jet straight up slowed down to let him by. Jet said it. That was his initial reaction. And the reason also that I believe that, and we could talk about this all day. If you go and you look at like Jet after the podium and how candid he was on the podium, dude, he's a fierce competitor. He was pretty dang open Friday and Saturday morning about how he wants to win and losing sucks. I mean, you know, he's pretty aggressive with his words and wanted to come out and win. Basically, he's the only guy who put his hand up at the press conference on Friday. And he didn't even look bummed at all on the podium. Like if I got beat like that and somebody cracked me, I wouldn't be joking and having a good time. I don't think he's bluffing. As my
yeah, I don't know. I think Jet had it in his head, had a plan, worked it out on the track. It didn't work out. I still think personally, Jet he's the one everybody has to beat. We're coming into the last round. We have 75 points on the line. I know it's anybody's race at this point, technically. But I also think that I think Jet knew what he was doing. I think he's okay with losing that second moto. He still ends up with the overall, which is the bonus money, the bonus checks from all of his sponsors. So like for the actual, you know, what did it change? It didn't change much, right? It didn't affect anything on his part. So I think from Kenny's standpoint, he needs to believe that he needs to know that he, you know, I wouldn't say ran him down, but stayed with him for that 20 minutes that, you know, not everybody has been able to do. So I think that's a huge kudos to Kenny on that part. But I still think that this is Jet's championship to lose.
Yeah. So the point spread, I mean, basically it's winner take all between Sexton, Jet, and Kenny. Kenny, it's a 10-point spread between the three of them. Kenny's going to need a little bit of help, I think, especially if Chase, just assuming Chase and Jet go, you know, are in the top three. So he'll need a little help from some of his competitors, but it's worked out great. Last thing about Jet, D-P-Gill 23 says, what would you guys think if Jet let you by? I mean, hell, I don't know.
I mean, buddy, I'm thinking there's a problem with the motorcycle or something. That's like we all thought, you know, as a racer, current situation, obviously Kenny's not in Jet's head. He doesn't know what he's trying to, pull off here, but yeah, nonetheless, money,
like, you know? Like our producer says, money, dude, would you been like, oh yeah, cashing in?
That's right. I mean, second on the podium instead of third, that's a better bonus than it is third. So
that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. I mean, it makes it fun to talk about, you know, but ultimately it didn't change anything.
No, you're right. Hey, what about so Chase Sexton, he even said like he felt like he didn't have the pace. I'm like, I say this and then people are going to hammer on me about it, but I feel like regardless of the track, the setup, you have to find a way to be the best every single weekend or run up front or as close as you can to the front. I know he's trying his hardest. Do you feel, after what you saw this weekend, do you feel like he's where he needs to be going into LA?
No, I don't think Chase is where he needs to be going into LA. I mean, like I had mentioned, I don't think he got his setup right. And look, there's a lot of times as racers that, you know, could have a midweek crash, could have a crash, you know, during practice and you're banged up, you're sore, you miss the setup. But when the lights go off and they opening ceremony starts, as at this level of racing, you have to be able to turn it off and accept what you're riding and know that your talent, because he has the talent, he should have been able up there with that, with his setup. Now, is he going to be beating Jet? No, I don't, you know, if he's got him offsetting, because I think the guys are just, they're just that really is. Close right now. Mm-hmm. But you need to fight for that position, and not to say that Chase wasn't, but when you are uncomfortable like that, you got to shut it down. You got to shut your brain off and you got to go to instincts. and stop worrying about setup and all these other things that are trying to infiltrate into the program.
Right. Hey, Aaron Jones, 17. He says, was Chase being cautious, realizing it wasn't his style track? He definitely wasn't being cautious at the beginning of the first moto. From what I saw, dude, he was going after it, trying to get by Barcia really quick. And then he got right on the back end of Jet. I mean, he had way more intensity than Jet did, especially those first couple laps. He was all over him like, oh, dude, he's going to pass Jet. And then he just started to fall back. So okay, this is where I go back to when Chase had those struggles in Supercross and he had the struggles in outdoor. If I'm hoping for him, based on the mistakes he made all season long, that maybe he did take a step back and he was like, okay, second or third's all I got today. I can't hit the deck. So I hope for him and the learning curve, I hope that he took it easy and just surrendered to what position he was going to get. But it's hard to tell because these guys are riding so good. So did he just get straight? I mean, he got straight up beat, but how much did he play it safe? 16 seconds mm-hmm. off the back is, I think, a little overboard for playing it safe. To your point, what
I 100% agree. I think if you don't have that set up perfectly, you still ride that bike to its ability and your ability. And 16 seconds back isn't going to cut it. Like I said, you got to be able to shut it off. And look, I know, Ricky, you've rode setups that weren't right and way off. I mean, yep. I've talked about it on the show. Heat race 1-1 shock, go into the main event. Now I've changed shock springs by like three or four, like massive jumps, and then it's internally completely different. And and looking back at that, like I could have complained or recognized that, okay, I'm way off tonight. The bike's way off tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I shut it down and I believed in my suspension crew and my team that, hey, they're not going to put me out there on anything that's not safe. Yeah. So I have to keep this alive and give it the best shot at winning. And I'm not saying he didn't. Yeah. If he did lay back a little bit, I think it was too much.
Yeah. One thing, and then we'll switch gears. And get off this, the 450. But dude, AP was fast. He was fast this weekend. He looked comfortable on the bike. The track was more outdoorsy. I loved how it was a completely different style track than Charlotte. But dude, he was rolling just those dang starts. You know, I think it would have been cool to see him get a better start. His box score was a reflection of how fast he was, which comes at a great time being selected for MXOM, Captain America, great guy to go over there and represent the country. But dude, I thought he rode great. It'd be cool to see him put in another good one and get a good start and run well this weekend in LA. Did you get a chance to watch him? He was rolling.
Yeah, I did. He seemed definitely like more intensity, but also with that flow that I think that AP's been missing, like being a tall, lanky guy like that, I feel like it's got to be, when you're feeling off, I feel like being tall and lanky like that's got to be kind of tough, but right. I feel like, track layout, the dirt. I feel like he rode really well. That was kind of, I don't want to say his style of track, but I felt like it was good for him. Mm-hmm. It was a good track for him. Right. But these guys gotta, I mean, I know everybody knows how critical starts are, but
dude, you got to.
If you want to have a chance, buddy, you got to put yourself in the top five. At worst.
So let's thank some sponsors. United Motorsports, UnitedMotorsports.com. Check them out. I was with Ray Butts from United Motorsports when we were at Jeff Stanton Adventures last week, which was a lot of fun. Check them out. They got six locations in the Ohio, Kentucky area. Quadlock Case. Quadlockcase.com. We use all of their product as well on our adventure bikes last week. Just a great company. They're making massive moves. They got what you need, whether you're on motorcycles, cars, you name it. They got it. They have a whole bunch of stuff. Check them out at Quadlockcase.com. BoxOUSA.com. And of course, Boxo USA, best tools in the business, in my opinion. We talk about it every single weekend. You know, how organized they their toolboxes are. I know the Monster Energy Star Yamaha team runs them. So if you're in the paddock this weekend at the LA Coliseum, go check out the stuff. It's pretty cool. And their lifetime warranty. Pretty simple process. All you got to do is take a picture, send it to them, and then they will send you a new tool back. So remember to use the promo code TITLE24, 10% off on all of these products. All you got to do, like I said, hit TITLE24 for 10% off, and it's site-wide on anything on all of those three people's site. So thank you guys for that. Moving along to the 250 class. I didn't think anyone was going to go 1-1 in the 250 class. I think we talked about it on last week's show. Again, keep going back to last week's show. I didn't think Hunter was going to be able to go 1-1.
Yeah, that's what we said, right? I said, yeah. Missed the double there. Interesting. Yeah. I must have missed that one on the broadcast.
Oh, did you miss that? Yeah. So, Deegs, he was running well, and just, I mean, dude, he couldn't crack Hunter. And then that little inside rut, you know, if you guys watch Deegan, for the people that are listening to Title 24, you're watching us on YouTube, watch Deegan, how far he lays the bike over. Well, he laid the bike over a little too far in that left-hander. Yeah. And it grabbed his foot. Dude, it almost pulled him off the bike, and then he wasn't able to double the finish line. That's how Hunter got by him. But what'd you like?
Yeah, but to your point, Ricky, of I had said both Lawrences had to rebound after Charlotte, right? They both had, I mean, yep. Terrible weekends compared to what we've seen from both of them, all of Supercross, all of outdoors. And they were able to do that. They both rebounded fantastically, and mm-hmm. yeah, to 1-1 for Hunter. That, talk about making a statement. One of the starts, I don't remember if it was first or second, like he had a couple bike lengths coming into the first turn. He really must have just timed the gate perfect and had a perfect launch. But those are the things you have to do. Rebounding from last weekend, ending up on the ground both motos last weekend, and not having nowhere near the performance that he knew he needed to have round one. But like we had said, we didn't think of it like this, but yeah. If you're going to have a throwaway round one is to have that throwaway. And now we show up here, Chicago, with 50 points on the line. You know, they were both able to rebound and you know, put themselves back up on top in the winner's circle.
Yeah, he rode phenomenally. Dude, I don't know, like, and I don't know if you've kind of noticed this. Hunter just seems like he's over it for some reason. I don't know if he's mentally already on to the 450 class for next year. It's been a long season. He's had a hell of a season, by the way, winning the regional Supercross championship. And then, of course, a tough fought battle in the outdoor motocross with some injuries. And I expected a little more emotion out of him on the podium. You know, it was kind of like, you know, just straight business talk for him, I felt like. And yeah, I don't know.
Well,
who knows?
Could be to that, to your point, could be to, you know, not that pressure is getting to him, but the longer you're in that pressure cooker situation, the longer you're expected to win, or in all these, everything that it takes to be that rider, to be that person, you know, like that can become grueling. Not that he's not, you know, excited or hasn't moved on to the 450 mentally already. But I think, you know, running out a full season Supercross, Motocross, but also in these fighting for championships in both series, that's that added pressure of like, okay, now it's, and his outdoor season wasn't, it's not like it went off without a hitch, you know, rib right. injuries, you know, shoulders, this, that, the next, like it didn't just go flawlessly. So, you know, we got one more race. He's got to keep his head in the game for one more race, and then he'll be able to really kind of take that break. And I feel like after that, then you'll see your traditional Hunter you know,
joking around
later in the year.
Fun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, 902 Nick, appreciate you coming in and asking the question. And this is switching gears to Joe. 902 Nick says, can anyone match Joe's speed if he is trouble free next week? Ooh. Dude,
I mean,
that dude's the fastest guy on the track. I feel like I gotta go back and research the lap times. I can't remember if he turned the fastest lap of both mains, but certainly looks like he had more speed than anyone else. What do you think?
He rode phenomenal. Yeah, no, he did. He Joe's been turning it on the last 2 weeks, and then I mean, that's when he hit his chin on the bar there. Remember that on the broadcast?
Like an uppercut, dude. Here we go. We're rewatching it right now. So he was using this outside line the whole time, coming back the corner, coming back across the start straight, and looks like it was that rut was probably lower than the actual dirt that was brought onto the track. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, man. Look, come right here. I guess he wasn't in, this is what I see. I feel like they piled up. So they built this track on the grass, and then when the grass clumps as you're pushing the dozer blade through them, eventually they windrow up and they make a nice, you know, they make like a border of the track. So I'm wondering, because when he hit it, it looked like he hit like there was a rock in that pile, or if it was something very dense when he rode into that. So was it a little bit of grass that he wasn't anticipating it being hard? He was anticipating it being soft, like all the other berms that he's been cutting out of. And yeah, just busted his chin on the handlebar there. And you can see him shake his head to like get his goggles obviously went above his eyes, and then he couldn't see, and then he's got to get it back down. You know, it's not an ideal situation.
Helmet's probably like up, you can't see crap. You know, you're like, dude, what's going on?
The foam of your goggles just went through your eyeballs, and now your eyes are watering.
Dude, hey, the guy was going for it. I do think he, I think Deegan can match his speed. I think Hunter can match his speed. There's going to be some other guys. Listen, there's some good guys in there. Keep your eye on Ryder DeFrancisco. He had some bad luck, but I think that Ryder has made another step in the right direction, a step forward. He's ratcheted it up. And so that's good to see. So maybe, and he's a great starter in nature. So is Justin Cooper. So I think there's a lot of guys that this is their last chance at glory. And RV, you have been open and upfront about it the whole time. There is a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of points on the line, but most of all, money on the line. If you guys thought that the intensity level was high this weekend in Chicago, watch out this weekend. And it's Supercross. You know, there's going to be more opportunities to pass. I think there will be more separation on the track, I do, than what we've seen the last 2 weeks. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword with more opportunity to make up and lose time. Maybe they won't be as close. The pack racing won't be as close. But there's a lot of guys, and the intensity is going to be at an all-time high for obvious reasons. I mean, it's $500,000 for the SMX World Championship in the 250 class. That is nothing to sleep on. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
No, can I sign up late and jump in?
Yeah, you could. hey, Savannah Leach, with the bike changes Cowie made, will Joe regret switching teams next year?
That's that honestly, I know everybody's been trying to keep up with Star the last few years,
right?
And you know, it seems like Mitch has definitely bridged that gap. And if you just look at starts, you look at the riders that are riding the bikes, you look how passes are made, you could say that Star's number one. Now we have a close second with PC, and then you got to go to the Austrian bikes, I feel like. And somewhere that Honda fits in along those with those Austrian bikes. I don't know the order. Obviously, I haven't rode those bikes. But I think we do know that the Honda isn't what the Star bike is, and now we know it's not also what the Pro Circuit bike is. I think they were closer matched before, but with whatever Mitch has figured out, I think it's going to hinder him a little bit. I honestly do, because I feel like Joe isn't that rider that can, I think things work well when everything's working well with Joe. Mm-hmm. Like the bike's good, he's feeling comfortable, the setup's good, he gets a good start. But now you pull one of those out of the equation. Maybe the, now let's use the bike, for example. Let's say that's his hindrance part and he's not going to be in the top three, four, five spots because maybe the power situation. Now you got to think it's a different race for him now, not starting up front.
Yeah. And then too, you know how it is. So like the people tuned in to the podcast, when you're on an underpowered motorcycle, it's tough because now you're having to ride harder. So then you're getting more fatigued and then the bike isn't working quite as well as probably it should, because you're asking so much out of it. It's just like everything starts to compound. So I agree 100% with you. Like, dude, it's going to be interesting to see, but yeah, if the engine is lacking a little bit, then it just snowballs from that point on. Cause then it seems like you can never get the suspension right, cause you're overriding it. Then your timing is off and it just everything compounds. We got to talk about, before we're done beating up Chicagoland and talking about it, Deegan said he's going to go Deegs mode in LA. And this is where I feel like moments like what we will see in LA for the SMX World Championship, 500 grand on the line. He hasn't won a Supercross. This is going to be his opportunity, number one, to get his first Supercross win and his first SMX World Championship. It's twofold. Let's see here. Jacob _ Chen says, does Deegan ghost ride it if he wins in LA? I have my opinion, but I want to get yours. I think he shines in moments like this. I really do.
Ricky, I think we have some sound from Deegan.
Ooh, do we? Let's roll it.
I think so.
Had a good time out here, and yeah, we're still in the fight. That's all that matters. Yeah, I love all the fans. You guys are wild. So now on to the last round, and you guys know how I ride. I ain't here to send it. So we're going to dig to the last round, and we're going to have some fun, baby.
There we go.
There we go.
Dude, the fans. You know, what do you think?
I think
does he ghost it? I mean, look. Does he ghost ride it?
Oh, does he ghost ride it? Like, yeah, that'd be awesome, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be something definitely that he would want to do. I mean, I think that'd be a really cool matched up photo with Brian doing his. And then you can splice them in and you get Hayden doing his. I think that'd be a really cool photo for the house or the trophy room.
Yeah, I think, dude, if he wins, I think you have to. It'd be an epic story. I mean, obviously you got to do it safely. Make sure no
clear one, it with AMA.
Yeah. Get clearance, make sure no one's around and let that thing go. Now I will say that when Brian did it 97, that jump is 10 times smaller than what these guys are going to see this weekend. So it's going to be a bit harder to do it on the jump if he does it selfishly.
Not to mention, Ricky, they're going a lot slower on those 125s back then.
Oh, than these two DFs. Yeah, you're right. It'll, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. And like the 450 class, dude, it's a three-way tie. Well, not a three-way tie, but a three-way winner take all. Super tight in points. Here's the points right here. 250 SMX Championship. Hunter leads with 89 points. Joe Shimoda is 3 points back. And then Hayden Deegan, the third. He's 7 points back. Levi Kitchens, yeah. 26. So those guys, there's no shot. It's going to be one of those three guys. And I think you go for it. Dude, I do think he
goes for it, but I think what we see different right now is we've added Joe to the mix now three weekends in a row, Ironman, Charlotte, now we have Chicago, and now we're going into LA. So I think for some reason, I feel like Hayden, for some reason, has a point to prove with Hunter. And then I think, but Joe's kind of this wild card. He hasn't raced Joe a ton this year, like head to head, like he has Hayden. And now Joe's all of a sudden in the middle of this. So I do think that Hayden has the chance at winning. I do think he can win, but I don't know, by adding Joe into the equation, I feel like it changes up his strategy a little bit, or throws him off rhythm a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think myself personally, I feel if you're Hunter and Deegs is behind you, you better watch out. Because
yep.
I think with, like I said, the world championship on the line and the money on the line, and it's your last crack. You played second fiddle to him for the most part all season long. I think you're going for it. I certainly would. Like, if I was racing someone and it's the last moto and I've got to get by this dude to win the championship, I'm not playing nine. No way.
I think so too. And what I think is, not that it's changed Hayden's thinking, but I think he's only had to think about one person in a championship fight, not two. I don't think it affected him this weekend at Chicago. He rode phenomenal. But we're coming down to the last round. And like you said, there's three of these guys that are in the contention to win the championship. So now it's not only, I got to just think about Hunter, but now I'm thinking about, okay, Jet pulls all shut, Hunter's in fifth, I'm in third. So now yeah. I gotta watch behind me, and I gotta think about going forward. I mean, there's more things going on that he's got to think about. So I think that he hasn't been in that position. Not that he doesn't know how to do it. I just think it's something that's new to him. We have three riders fighting for one championship.
Yep, it's going to be epic, you know, and we talked about it a little bit on the show, but it's crazy when you think about when you and I and the rest of us were at that press release at the LA Coliseum almost a year ago, last October, and would we have ever thought that there would be basically a winner-take-all for three riders in both classes of 250 and 450? I didn't think so. I mean, obviously, we all hope that, right? I mean, it's just, it's like the perfect storm. It's perfect. And it's in the whole SMX World Championship has panned out to be something really special. We're going to give away some stuff. Quad lock question of the week. This is a good one. Let's see here. It is from Mike_Reagan_fabricator. Mike, we appreciate you. Thanks for being a listener and tuning in to Title 24 and a supporter of RVNI. You're the man. His question is, this is a really good one, and this is why it kind of leads us to what we were just talking about. Hey, guys, love the show. For next year, what do you think about the first round being run like this year, except only the top 15 are seeded into the next week? The others would have to make it through the LCQ. Playoffs should have elimination. I love that. I think that... you know, I think that the SMX formula is certainly, we're going to have to change some stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every major organization, sports organization does it. They tweak things, rules, point systems, whatever it may be. I kind of pick up what he's saying, what Mike is saying. I like that elimination element of it because it puts a little more pressure on the guys to have to make it in. Right on the second round and the third round, and makes it a little more realistic. But I don't think that I certainly didn't anticipate this when the rules were set and the scoring and the points were set. It was I thought it was good. So I think that I like that. I like that idea. What's your thoughts? You think there should be?
It would be very interesting. Yeah, if there was a real elimination, right? So. Eliminating some of those guys, making them have to push back and go to the LCQ. I think the only problem potentially with that, and like these are, like you said, these are fluid rules that mm-hmm. because it's such a brand new series and some of these rules are brand new, you know, then are you taking it away from some of those privateers? If we were just to seat the top guys and like we have them out of Supercross, out of outdoors. And then, cause you know, the cream always rises to the top. So by the time of Ironman comes around, everybody's already seated and you already have your guys and that are going to be in there that you know should be in there. And then you have your privateers that those are the musical chairs that between privateers, if you add, let's say Austin Faulkner to that list, you know, like he was already in that list, but essentially he's taken a spot away from, you know, from the privateers when we have this payout that goes all the way down the list. I mean, I'm sure there's a way they could do it, but I like the elimination, but what happens with the privateers when you start adding a bunch of factory guys or, you know, top 10 guys into the last chance?
Yeah, I like I think that there will be an adjustment, and you know that was to be expected. I think it's for the first year, the inaugural season of it. I think it's worked out well. And I know that everyone is open to suggestions, and they've been reading some of our questions. The people, you know, the powers that be have seen this stuff, and they like some of these ideas. So I believe it will be tweaked. I do like that. Some type of elimination would be cool. It'll give other guys opportunities to get in, like you said, RV. So thank you, Mike Reagan. We appreciate everything. We'll reach out to you, or you can slide into the Title 24 DM on Instagram. We'll get you connected with Quadlock. They'll send you some stuff once you get it. Make sure you show a little love to Quadlock. Hopefully, I have no doubt that you'll like what they send you. So thank you very much. Turn the page. Big weekend, obviously, in motorsports for NBC. Always remember, check out SMX Insider with Weej and JT. That's on YouTube, always on Thursdays. And then Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, NASCAR Xfinity Series is at Texas. That'll be on USA. And then you can check RV out on Race Day Live. That starts 4:30 p.m. That'll be live on Peacock. So all practicing and qualifying, some in-depth analysis by my co-host on Title 24. RV's been doing a great job, so he will be on site. And then, of course, at 10 p.m. Eastern, live on USA and Peacock, there'll be a special pre-race at 9:30 Eastern, and then the SMX Championship final at LA Coliseum. Make sure you check it in. Sunday, MotoGP's Grand Prix of India. That'll be on NBC, 3 p.m. Eastern. NASCAR Cup Series is at Texas. That's on USA. And then there's an encore presentation of the SMX Championship at LA Coliseum on Sunday, if you don't happen to check it out live late Saturday night if you're on the East Coast. So fun times, a lot to look forward to on NBC Sports Sunday. Looking ahead to LA, dude, I am so pumped. Like we talked about it, RV, three-way tie, brother. Or not tie, I keep saying that. Dang it, I keep saying that. There's a look at the track. If you are not tuning in, you're just listening. We're putting a little 3D rendering of the track. What do you think about it? What's your initial thought?
I'm really looking forward to see some Supercross now. Like I said, we've mentioned Dirtworks has done a phenomenal job with the hybrid stuff, you know, the hybrid tracks, Charlotte, Chicago being a really true hybrid super outdoor track. But now we're going to get down to the what we all really know. And I think here at LA Coliseum, running the peristyle, I think that, you know, I've never been there to go and check out, LA Coliseum at a race. So I'm, as a fan, I'm stoked. I want to see the parasol. I want to see how the track races. And I think to have two classes and six guys going for the championship, I mean, three for the 450, three for the lights, I think it's epic.
Yeah. It's dude, it's going to be so good. I love the track. We're watching the 3D, you know, when they got the little arrow that does the complete track. I love it. I think it's going to be awesome. You know what? I'm not going to sit here. Everyone knows I don't make predictions. I'd be a fool not to. And the reason I don't, I could, for the 450 class, I could sit here and tell you why I think that Chase Sexton has just as good of an advantage to win over Jet Lawrence and Ken Roczen. You know, Chase has been open about it. He feels comfortable on his Supercross setup on that HRC Honda before he heads over to Red Bull KTM. So, I mean, surely not only for the $1 million and the inaugural SMX title, definitely there's going to be a little more emphasis, I would think, for him to win. And then for the 250 class, I mean, you could make a fair point and argument for the three guys that have a realistic shot of winning the world championship. So it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm not going to put you on the hot seat
Well, I actually have something to say. Can you imagine if it comes out and Chase wins Moto One, and it goes down to the last actual moto for overall?
Dude,
can you imagine that? That would be absolutely. Look, I think once again Chase has to rebound this weekend for this championship, and I think for himself too, and I think he can do that. We know that he seems very comfortable on his Supercross setup, and I think he's going to come out. He's got to come out swinging, and if he can do it, Moto One, and get that moto, that first moto win, it could change that. The whole feeling, the air could get thick going into Moto Two.
Right. Oh, dude, I couldn't imagine that. I mean, I almost almost want it to happen. Those guys better not sleep on Kenny's skills. Kenny gets great starts. He's been at this game for a long time. He never really pushes it much to where he's going to override, but his comfortable level of riding is just fast enough to win. So if those guys slip, boom, maybe he makes it. And I've said it before, Kenny shines in moments like this, hence the amount of times he's won the Anaheim opener. This three race playoff kind of fits right into his wheelhouse. So he's going to be good. I think that Jet hasn't really raced these guys much in Supercrosses in tighter style tracks. And so who knows? You know, I think nevertheless, it's going to be awesome. I mean, the 250 class is just going to be, I think it's going to be a whirlwind myself personally. I think it's going to be
both. I mean, both of them are super exciting right now going into this last round. I can't pick one or the other. I'm waiting to see what happens.
I know it's going to be good, but I'll see you there, brother. You're going to be on RDL
again.
That's right, buddy.
RDL all day Saturday, or all day, but yeah, for about four and a half hours on Saturday. It's a big weekend for our industry, right? I think Alpenstarts has a 60-year party on Thursday, and then all the shenanigans that are going on at Friday for us, you know, getting prepared for Saturday, and then Saturday it's the finale.
That's right. Maybe we have a Title 24 party in LA somewhere, like somewhere. I don't know. Drinks on someone. Maybe we'll make JH pay for drinks, you know.
That's right.
Got alligator arms most of the time when it comes to pulling out the credit card. So maybe we'll stick it to him there, and I'll go out on my Instagram, tell everyone where to meet us. We appreciate everyone listening, and all of you guys' support. We appreciate the feedback. Thank you again to United Motorsports, Quadlock, and Boxo USA for the sponsorship and enjoying this ride. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to keep doing it. Remember, you can always watch us on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page or NBCSports.com. And of course, it's always on demand on Peacock. And then wherever you download your favorite podcast, we're on all podcast applications, you name it, Amazon Music. You can even ask Siri to listen to Title 24, and Siri will pull it up there for you. So we appreciate all the support. RV, we will see you on Friday, my man. And we'll do it again next week, and we'll get to rehash out and talk about the new SMX World Champions.